Quickly the days that are numbered pass by. So quickly the days of a judgment draws nigh. So heedless of the danger we're living today. God's love and the mercy they're throwing away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily don't trod. God in his heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. While he warn off the dangers that lie in their path, but they heed not his mercy and they kindle God's wrath. Pleasures of this world is their only care. For where you have pleasure, their hearts will be there. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily don't trod. God in his heaven must look down in pity on those who carelessly forgotten their God. He said that his kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on the great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily don't trod. God in his heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that his kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily don't trod. God in his heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. On those who so carelessly forgotten their God. We hear about the wars. We see the famine in the land. There's questions in the children's eyes. Trouble in the east again. The whole world is shaking. There's no safe place to stand. And the mournful sounds are heard throughout the land. But I keep listening for a different sound. The sound of the city that jumps off coming down. The sound of the bride being united with the groom. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening for a different sound. I remember the preacher saying, son, it shall come to pass. There'll come a generation that will be the last. I can't believe I'm standing here seeing the end of time. And the preacher's voice still echoes in my mind. But I keep listening for a different sound. The sound of the city that jumps are coming down. The sound of the bride being united with the groom. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening for a different sound. I remember the preacher saying, that it shall come to pass. There'll come a generation that will be the last. I can't believe I'm standing here to see the end of time. And the preacher's voice still echoes in my mind. But I keep listening for a different sound. The sound of the city that jumps are coming down. The sound of the bride being united with the groom. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening for a different sound. But I keep listening for a different sound. The sound of a city that jumps are coming down. The sound of the bride being united with the groom. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening for a different sound. I remember the preacher saying, and it shall come to pass. There'll come a generation that will be the last. Mm-hmm. My dad, everybody knows that my dad was a Sunday school teacher. He taught that 60 years ago. I can still hear him say it. One time he said, there's no point putting the crop in. The Lord's coming. This thing was real to him. That was 6 years ago. And then, you know, he hit. And everybody's making a mockery of that. But see, here it is. It's just like people, just because it didn't come in his hour, people think they got a license now that he's not going to come. Oh, your dad said that years ago. That's all they know. Well, somewhere up the road it's coming, and we got it right down to the day when Satan is no more, right? The Lord given us the good, because we believed it. Mm-hmm. I know it didn't happen in his hour, mm-hmm. but I still believed it. Knowing we were living in that season of time.
Well, when you will look back at the 60s, when you will look at the parable of Matthew 20, mm-hmm. And when there was a cry made, it said, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him.
Yeah.
See, there was a cry going out in the 60s. The bridegroom cometh, go out and meet him. See, that was in the environment.
In the spirit, that's what he felt.
Uh-huh. And he could feel that and pick it up in the spirit, you know. If a person is sensitive, they can pick things up in the spirit, you know. And that's what he was picking up. It was in the atmosphere.
In the 60s when they rejected
right,
the prophet.
That's right.
The air was charged up mm-hmm. with the coming of the Lord, go ye out to me. And even if it's not written, the air is still charged
that's
up.
That's right.
You know?
It's in the heavens. In the spirit world, there is a message out.
And you have to be pretty wicked to reject that, you know, to look the other way. Like it was back in the days of when Jesus was here. And then the whole area, the whole country was charged up. The Messiah is here.
Mm-hmm.
And some picked it up and mm-hmm. some recognized it. And they said, come, let's go. We found him.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were saying the other day about Philip and Nathaniel, and one found, come on, let's go see it. We found him. And then the woman at the well, is this not him?
Mm-hmm.
See, it was all, without even saying one word, the earth and the atmosphere was charged up. And here, the earth and the atmosphere, the coming of the Lord is nigh at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were saying, in the 60s, the voice went out, behold the bridegroom coming. Now you can ignore it, and then you put your head in the sand, and then thinking it's not going to happen, but it's going to happen, it's going to come. Jesus is coming back, and we're living just a few short years, under 3 years, from all this for the final solution.
Mm-hmm.
Really, that's what it is. That's the final solution for mankind, the coming of the Lord. People don't believe it. Look at all the people that we've had on board here and listening to us faithfully. They couldn't wait till they could tap in the next day and something like that. Not one of them. Not one of them will tell their family and friends what's going on, what we're saying. Mm-hmm. Not one of them. was going to put their neck out there and tell and believe this thing to the point where they'll actually tell their family members about it. Not one of them. All they do, they know it's true. I know. I had that one guy. He was here for 3 days, and then when he left, he said, "I'm going to go back home. I'm going to tell everybody that I know what happened to me here." And month later, he shows up here in the driveway, and he didn't go tell anybody, and he was actually shaking. I told him, "I guess you know we're right, don't you?" And he even started shaking. He was so convinced we're right. And then I seen him 2 months later. I says, "How come you don't go tell people that what happened to you?" "Well, I don't think I could do that. You see, what happens then when you don't do what the Bible says, when you don't go tell somebody, then what happens is that then you slip back into your old ways again, and eventually you go back to the religious, to the cesspools again. You're not moving ahead. That's just the way it is."
Mm-hmm.
"I am blessed, oh, I am blessed every day that I live. I am blessed when I wake up in the morning and I lay my head to rest. I am blessed, I am blessed, oh I am blessed, oh I am blessed every day that I live. I am blessed when I wake up in the morning and I lay my head to rest. I am blessed, I am blessed, oh I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed every day that I live. I am blessed when I wake up in the morning till I lay my head to rest. I am blessed, I am blessed. I will put my trust in Jesus as I lay upon his breast. I will take my comfort from him. I will find in him sweet rest. For there is no other fountain where I can be more satisfied than in the arms of Christ my Savior. No blessing I will be denied. All pain will leave my aching body as his sweet healing flows. Demons tremble at his presence. In Jesus' name they have to go. For there is no other fountain where I can be more satisfied than in the arms of Christ my Savior. No blessing I will be denied. And then one morning in that city, I will rise to sleep no more. In God's presence live forever. All sin and death will then be o'er. For there is no other fountain where I can be more satisfied than in the arms of Christ my Savior. No blessing I will be denied. For there is no other fountain where I can be more satisfied
of Christ, my Savior, no blessing I will be denied.
Just suppose that God has searched through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed to provide eternal life for you and me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would belong. I'm so glad He was willing to drink that bitter cup. Although He prayed, Father, let it pass from me. I'm so glad He didn't call heaven's angel. From my hands, pull the nails that torment me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for that old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. I'm so glad He was willing to drink that bitter cup. Although He prayed, Father, let it pass from me. I'm so glad He didn't call heaven's angels. From my hands, pull the nails that torment me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for that old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Then forever my soul would be lost. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of all before His judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer Him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory.
glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
His truth is marching on.
I'm glad we don't have to play the game. We're marching on. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth. See? You want that blessing up here. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy aloud. And blessed are those who hear and obey the things written in it, because the time is near. Selig is der da liest, und die da hören die Worte der Weissage und behalten, was darin geschrieben ist, denn die Zeit ist nahe. That's what I saw for the last few days. Blessed. If anything else, you want that blessing. That when you see something in the Bible where it says, blessed is he, then you go after it, you drop everything else like a hot potato, and you want that blessing above everything else. That's what kept me going over the years. Back in the day, I was just a kid. I was reading that in the Bible. Blessed is he that readeth. So it put me on a thing that I enjoy reading. I would slip away my little cupboard and read the Bible privately, and even as a kid, you know, because I saw that scripture. Blessed is he. You want that blessing above everything else, because anything outside of that blessing, well, it's just not going to take you anywhere. But throughout the scripture, there's blessings, and that's what kept me on guard. That's what kept me going. That's my foundation. Blessed is he. And then we were told not to read Revelation, but I was like a magnet. I was drawn to it like a magnet to read the book of Revelation and Ezekiel and Isaiah and these things. I didn't understand the word I'm reading. I just saw that blessed is he that readeth, you know. I just kept reading. And someday, and I figured, well, if I keep reading it, maybe someday I'll understand it. And that's what kept me going. And then I went further into it. Blessed is he that's not offended at me. And see, you and I, we're not offended at Jesus Christ, because the Bible says, blessed is he that is not offended at me in my word. So what do? We make sure that we're not offended. When people make fun of us and they smirk at us, we're not offended at it, because the Bible says, blessed is he. You want that blessing above everything else. You want to drop everything like a hot potato and go after that blessing. No matter what people will say, do or think, that's why we get rejected and we get smirked on when we put in the out, simply because blessed is he. Blessed is he that is not offended in me, than me in my word. So what do? We pursue it and we go out of our way to make sure we get that blessing above everything else. Just that simple. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, give you thanks for this analogy of life, for the many things that you've done for us, Lord. We just pray for grace to hold on to your word, and more above anything else, to hold on to these blessings that are hidden away in your scripture, Lord, in your word. We just pray you'll continue to do it as you see fit. Lord, help us to be overcomers in the day and hour we're living in, realizing the hour we're living in. Help us to put it out in word exactly what we're seeing and exactly what we're about, Lord. We just pray you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
That's what keeps us on board. Blessed is he that hears, and blessed is he that understands, You want that blessing above everything else. That's why, for the life of me, I cannot understand why people don't do nothing about it. See, when I heard about, I was out in Vancouver when I found out that God sent the prophet, and they told me God sent the prophet, and I told these people, I don't believe a word you're saying, but what I'll do, I'll fast and I'll pray. If the Lord shows me that this is true, I'll believe it. And then I began to fast, and after 2 days of fasting and seeking the Lord came to me and spoke to me. And he said, Dan, this is my prophet. If you believe it, you'll be blessed. Well, see, I trained myself already. I want that blessing from everything else. And when the Lord personally spoke to me, this is my prophet. If you believe it, you'll be blessed. Oh, I decided I'm going to believe it, even if I don't understand it, but I'm going to believe it. And then they told me about water baptism in Jesus' name, and that was on a Wednesday night when they told me all that, and Sunday night I got baptized in Jesus' name because I seen it in the Scripture. Blessed is he that believes it. Blessed is he that reads and hears it. I want that blessing above everything else. I dropped everything else. I didn't care what people said, did it. They think, and if I get rebaptized or anything, I just saw that blessing. And when I didn't care what the people said when they told me about God sent the prophet, I believed it. And then the first thing I did, I called up my wife and I told them God sent the prophet, and I just got baptized here in Jesus' name. And 2-3 months later, I came back home, and here. Her sister, she's a Pentecostal, she already heard about it, and what does she do? She sends her a book, an anti book about Brother Branham. And that didn't move me. I wanted that blessing above everything else. That's why I say, I for the life of me, I guess what I do, I judge people according to me. When I see blessed is he, I go after it, hook, line, and sinker. And I don't care what people say the word thing. And that's why I can't understand when people, they hear us. Like, luckily, that tons of people that have checked in here, and they know this is true. Like I tell you about that Jeremy who was standing out there in the park and on the pad out here, and I told, you know we're right, don't you? And he literally started shaking. He was so convinced we're right. And yet when he came to do a good go out and then tell somebody, he couldn't do it, because I seen him 2 months later. I said, I thought you were going to go tell people what the experience you had down there. Oh, I don't think I could do that. See, they're not doing what they need to do. They're done. Go and tell. And before you know it, they're going back in the gutter again, back in the slime pool, and back in the, and they're not going anywhere. They're just going backwards. Like, we had tons of people listening in, and I thought for sure they'll at least go tell their family members, or tell their wife or their children. But no, what did they do? They just cover it up as if it didn't happen. And then eventually you look for them, and there they are, back and living in the gutter again. Go back into the cesspools of religion or wherever they come out of. And that's been the key in my life. When I heard about it, I made sure everybody knows about it. And like I say, when I found out God sent the prophet, I tell you, with anybody that knows me, they know that God sent the prophet, because I went and told them. First thing I did, when I came back from Vancouver, I was in the kangaroo court with these Hutterites, and I told these Hutterite preachers, God sent the prophet, your baptism of the devil, and things like that. They don't believe it, because they're not of God. See, I was of God, and when I heard it, it did something to my soul and my spirit. I believed it, and I didn't care what people said, do or think. I just knew it was the truth, and I got made sure everybody knows about it. And I went and told that Sunday school teacher up in Nippur, that Platt, that I went and told that John Froh. Everywhere I went to, everybody knew when they were done with that God sent the prophet. We're living in the age of Laodicea, and all these things in that church world out there is nothing but decoys, just carbon copies of the real thing. And they know, when they were done with me, they knew exactly what I believed. I didn't leave one stone unturned because I wanted that blessing. Above everything else, I wanted that blessing. And like I say, I don't care. I didn't care what anybody says, because it's the only thing. Like, there's no way that you can do anything for your family members and for your children when it comes to salvation. It's up to the Lord to give them salvation, but the only way you can make sure that God remembers you is you continue on in the truth. When God shows you something, you've got to go after it, hook, line, and sinker. We don't care. And what people say, do or take. That's why I can't understand for the life of me. We got a lot of people even now listening in, but they don't tell their family members about it. They're concerned about their mom, they're concerned about their siblings, and they're concerned, but not one of them will tell them and put their neck out on the chopping block and go tell them, you know, Sam and Lorraine is right. They don't tell them that because they don't want to pay the price. They don't want that price. And they figured God's going to have favor with them when that time of judgment, that day comes here, that the day of the Lord. It's just up the road here. And they figured God's going to have favor. But see, they're not doing that. They're not doing what the Bible requires of them. They're not doing exactly what the book of Revelation, to him that heareth, let him say, come. That means go and tell somebody. That's just where it's at. But not one of them will do that. I don't know what holds it back. Like, I guess what I do, I judge people, like, from my own self. Like I wasn't, we've been reading the Bible all our lives, and I sometimes take it for granted that's what everybody's been doing. And when I see something in the script, I tell it to everybody. It's just a thing to do. And I figure sometimes I think everybody is like we are, you know. When they find something, they go and tell somebody. But it comes to the point where they don't. We had some people, man, that lady over here in Valheim, she was solid for months and months. And then all of a sudden she chills out simply because she did not go and tell. And then what happens if you don't go and tell? Like I say, you go back in the gutter again, and it's like you never even knew about it. And then all the things that you could do, your family and your siblings and everybody, the people that are under your watch, they're all going to go out to hell and death because you did not tell them. I'm not going to be responsible, because I tell you what, and then everybody that knows me knows they're going to hear that God sent a prophet. And I'm not ashamed of it. And see, we're not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not one of those that Moses, when he heard about, he wanted to be identified with the reproach of Christ. See, we're not ashamed of the reproach of Christ. In fact, what it does, it gives us fuel. It's like putting gas in your gas tank. That's what that is. You want that reproach of Christ, because therein is eternal life. It's just that simple. That's what makes us function. Do you want that blessing no matter what it costs? Because when Jesus, John the Baptist, he said to Jesus, sent his disciples to Jesus, are you the one, or is the one, or should we wait for another one? And then Jesus sent back word, go tell John that the blind see, the deaf hear, and the gospel is being preached to the poor. And then he said, blessed is he that is not offended at me. See, when I saw that, I decided I'm not going to be offended at the Lord Jesus Christ. Why should I be? He gave his life for it. And why should I be offended? See, but that's what the devil will do. He'll intimidate you. He'll make you try to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I saw something in that, in the word, blessed is he that is not offended at me. And see, it's that blessing that you want. That's what triggered me. That's what kept me alive. That's what kept me going. That's what keeps me going to this very day. You want that blessing, and you don't want to stop for nothing. As long as I get that blessing, at the end of the day, I'll be blessed. Blessed is he. Blessed is he. Blessed is he that goes and tells. Blessed is he, if you hear it, he that heareth, let him say, come. It's just that simple. Blessed is he. You want that blessing no matter what it costs. Yeah, it might cost a year. You might have to be kicked out of your home, but what's the difference? As long as you get that blessing, at the end of the day, that's what counts. And that's the motivating factor that you and I are being motivated by. We tell everybody. And if you don't want to hear it, that's your problem. That's not my problem, because we know what our job is, we know what our duty is, and we know where the blessing is. Just that simple.
That's right. Like when I came to the message of Brother Brenham and water baptism in Jesus' name, the Lord had dealt with me years earlier on that prophet. Like on Malachi, when I read Malachi 4, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He's going to send the spirit of Elijah. And it was so real to me, you know. It was some years later that actually I came to that ministry of that prophet, to Brother Brenham. And then it started connecting. This is that prophet that God is, that the scripture that God made so alive to me some years earlier. And I thought to myself, this is that prophet. And nobody was going to get me off of that. You know, nobody. I respected my mom. I thought she was, she was one of the few Christians that I knew in the Hutterite colony. But when I came to that prophet, she could not understand that concept, you know, especially the serpent seed. And that did not change my views on it, you know, what my mom said. I knew what I was searching for something. And when I came to it, nobody was going to take it away from me. And then when you will read, like in the Beatitudes, on the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus had, and all the blessings. And one of the blessings that's it's in there, in verse 11, it says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you falsely, say all kinds of evil against you because of me. See, that's what they do. Because you believe in a prophet and what God has done in this age, they'll say all kinds of false things about you because of Jesus, you know, because that's what God has done in this Laodicea church hour. He sent a prophet, and a lot of people, they think you've gone local because you believe that God sent a prophet and you believe in serpent seed and stuff and things like that. But these are all biblical, you know, biblical facts. These all line up with scripture. And then it says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So this is not a new thing, you know. When you walk in the will of God, you believe what God has for your hour, there is going to be persecution. Because when the Lord saved me when I was 21, you know, you come across some persecution because of, you know, in the religious system, it's geared for tradition and religion. It's not geared for Christianity. And you will feel that opposition. In the spirit, you feel an opposition there going on. It might not be worded, but you will feel it in your spirit. But it wasn't until I came to the ministry of Brother Brenham and believed that God sent the prophet and Brother Jackson. That's when the devil went full force, because that's the very thing that the devil does not want people to tap in, is that God sent the prophet to turn you back to the faith of the early church, because that religious world out there, that tradition out there, wants to stop what God is doing, and the devil will use it. That's what he'll use, religious people that are loaded self-righteousness, to stop you. But that didn't stop me. When I saw it, you know, and I believed that, you know, nobody could stop me, because I knew what I had in me, that hunger that I had, that was satisfied when I came to the ministry of Brother Brenham, Brother Jackson. Nobody could stop me, and nobody could convince me otherwise, because I knew what I had found. And there is that blessing, you know, that blessing that I had received. No matter what people was going to say, I wasn't going to change my mind on it because I knew what I wanted. And that there was only one thing that could satisfy my soul was that message for our day. And that's where that blessing comes in. And nothing that people will say, insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you, that wasn't going to deter me because there was a blessing in it.
I'm sure all your siblings and your family members, I'm sure they all know that you believe that God sent the prophet. And I think the first thing you did, you told your mom about when you got the... when you read it, that God's mm-hmm. going to send a prophet, and see, at least your siblings know about it, and my siblings and my family, they all know that I believe that God sent a prophet. They all know that I went and got baptized in Jesus' name. In fact, what happens, the devil, he can't stop me, and he knows he can't stop me, but then he does, he plusters it out all around those people that know, he's that guy that got baptized 15 times already. And see, that, he paints a bad image.
Yeah.
Or you the guy that got baptized 15 times already. How many times did he get baptized? I said, I only got baptized once, because there is only one baptism and one faith. I don't have to explain nothing to them. I just ignore them, because... you're going to make fun no matter what. And if they people tell you that I've been baptized 15 times, they assume, they got this picture in their mind, every time somebody, I go there and get baptized. That's not true. It's but the image that people have of us is that we got baptized, or I got baptized 15 times already. Well, it's a lie. Like I said, the devil, he can't stop me, and he knows he can't stop me, because every time I see that word blessed, I take it, took line and sink, I put pedal to the metal. I want that blessing above everything else, and nothing will shut me up. When it says, blessed is he that's not offended at me, I'm not offended at the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not offended to sing, Lord, I want to love you more, because he's the one that went to Calvary to die for me. Why should I be offended? Why should I be offended at something like that? And why should I not tell everybody that wants to give an ear, that wants to hear it? But the thing is, the problem is nobody wants to hear it here in this closing mm-hmm. Jesus time, because what you and I have, we have the truth. We have 100% truth. That thing out there, the culture, that's not truth. It's just a carbon copy. It's just hijacked Christianity. That whole other right thing, I don't care how good it looks and how rich they are, it's all hijacked. It's all of the devil, because I can prove it to you. Back in the days of Jesus, everything that happened back in Jesus' hour happens today. Mm-hmm. And then I read about Jesus was warning the scribes and the Pharisees. He was telling them, you go, I think it's Matthew 23, you go over land and sea to make a proselyte. Mm-hmm. And then once you've made a proselyte, you make out of him a twofold child of hell. And see, when you take that, what happened back there, what the Jews did, all they had was a form of God in them. And then when you take that and you bring it in today's hour, making a proselyte, it's like making a preacher. And I'm going to put it in today's hour. I just saw it last week, again, with such a clarity. And right now, they're going from college to college to make a preacher. I just looked on that other right app, and I saw they made a preacher up at the Broad Valley Colony. And they call it, they're going up there, they're going to make a preacher. But see what they did? It's all demonic, because after Pentecost, they did not do what they do now with making a preacher. They put two, three guys in the hat, and they pull lots. Mm-hmm. They didn't do that. After Pentecost, there was no more lots being pulled. They did it before Pentecost. When they made to take over Judas's place. And that's where the Hutterites get it. But after Pentecost, they did not do that anyway. The Holy Spirit was leading and guiding and telling them who to pick, who to ordain, who to do and who not to do. And it was all driven by the Holy Spirit, because now Jesus Christ is the head of the church. But see, that Hutterite thing is just a carbon copy. And what they do, they go from colony to colony, to make a preacher. They call it a preacher, but and then the Bible thing, they call it the proselyte. And then once they made that preacher, is exactly what the Bible says, they make out of that preacher another twofold child of hell. So what they're doing in the real language, you got to bring it in today's language. They go up there to Broad Valley to make a, they call it a preacher, but all they're doing, they're going up there to make another twofold child of hell. That's just, that's it. That's all what that preacher system is about and these colonies. It's all manipulated. A lot of it is politics. And we've been known like back in the day, and I don't know if they still do it today. They just ask the preacher, who do you want for, who do you want for a preacher? Why want such and such? So they just, let's say, I want Levi for to be the preacher. So what they do, they make sure in all four tickets, or how many are there, on all these damps are Levi. Well, they pull out, it has to be Levi. See, it's all crocketed politics, and it's not, all they're doing, they go up there to make a preacher. All at the end of the day, they've just been another twofold child of hell. That's all that system can produce, because it's all built on Roman Catholicism. And all that Roman Catholicism can produce, only some more Roman Catholics. And that's all that Hutterite book just produces more Hutterites. And it, that's why it's, they make out of him a twofold child of hell, twice as bad as you, yourself are. They're just bringing everything in today's language, and we're putting the ticket, the covers out, because here it is in time, Jesus said, the Bible says, he will expose, everything will be exposed, even the intents of a person's heart. And all we're doing, we're taking the reps out. That Hutterite thing is not of God, it's of the devil. And see, we tell that to people, but they wallow in that mire, you know. They just love that. They don't listen to what we're saying, and I know you and I. We have the truth, and we're putting it out there. And all people have to do, they just have to come on board. Because I know at the end of the day, it's going to happen exactly the way you and I see it.
Yeah, because you want that fountain of living water. You want that living waters, you know. That meet in due season. And meet in due season is really the message for your day and hour. When you're eating dead Karen, that dead meat on the roadside, that stinks already and is all, like it's just not fit to eat, you know. You want something that is inspired and alive. And well, most of the time there is that persecution that that's in that message for your day. But you know, in that persecution, God gives a blessing. You know, there is that joy that God gives you. You know, knowing that you have that solid rock. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all that really matters in life. The rest is nothing compared to having that joy and that peace within, to know that you're following Jesus. And the message for your day and hour, that is following Jesus. You know, just like in the back in the day when Martin Luther came on the scene, that was the message for your day. That was like following Jesus in the hour when Jesus was here. And that's how it went down through time. But you can't follow Jesus when you're set in a system of tradition and religion, you know. How can you fully follow Jesus because you're not in the message for your day and hour? That's because that's where Jesus is at.
Amen to that. We're just following the scriptures. At the end of the day, see, we only have a few more years left here before Jesus comes back to rule and reign. And we're at the closing days of time, yet people, they keep kicking the can down or hoping against hope that it's not going to happen, because they're brainwashed and thinking that we're some kind of losers and this, that, and the other. You can tell it when you see them in town here with the smirk on their face. They're convinced that we're wrong, and they're convinced they're right, but it's going to happen exactly what we say here. We have the time frame and everything. Like I was saying, my dad used to preach that back way back 40, 50, 60 years ago in Sunday school, and about the coming of the Lord. And here, we believe that, the Lord woke me up one morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. He said, Sam, I'm coming soon. I believed it, and I lost interest in the things of the world. And the Lord put me on a course. He put me on a direction to find out more about the coming of the Lord. And then he told me, seek the Lord while he may be found. And the Lord put me on this journey. And at the end of the journey, I found that God sent the prophet. And then by believing that God sent the prophet, and then when the prophet went off to sea, God sent the chief apostle, anointed. He didn't send him down from heaven. He just gave him that anointing. And anything outside of that anointing, anything outside of that ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson is nothing but infused by this antichrist, by this seducing spirit, and these doctrines of devil. They're the only people that's going to go in that rapture are these people that believe the fact that God sent a prophet. Anything outside of that channel is just not going to cut it. They're just not going to be there. Just that simple. The people that's going to go in that rapture are the people that believe, that understand what the book of Revelation, they're part of that nucleus of people, and you and I, we're part of that bride of Christ, and we put it out there for whosoever will, and if you're not in, and if you're not interested, you'd rather go back in your cesspool, you're going to miss that rapture, just that simple, because you cannot be a partaker of all that heavenly stuff that the Lord has if you reject the truth for your day, because it's the only thing when the king will come in, he's going to check your truth to see if you believe the message for your day, and then if he signs you, you say, bind him hand and foot and throw him out into outer darkness. There'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and this is right here, right in this here generation, likely. We keep saying it over and over again. Just because it's you and I, and people have that the picture of their mind when they see you and I, their mind goes right into the gutter and thinking this is a Shekinah program, because that's what they've been brainwashed to believe. So they get that image in their head. But they don't know that this is a journey that the Lord put us on to bring out a truth here in these closing days of death for a lost and dying world. You and I, we're the only two people on planet Earth out of 8 billion people that knows exactly the hour we're living in, because the Lord gave us a revelation of that midnight cry. And that midnight there was a cry. It happened exactly February the 28th, 1963, we keep saying it over and over again. All you got to do is punch in Mystery Cloud 1963, and it'll give you the whole story about God sending a prophet, meeting Brother Branham out at Sabino Canyon. And we know that Laodicea began in 1906. So what do? You got the middle, you got the beginning, then you automatically have to, and if you got grade 3 education at all, you can do the math and you'll find out that October the 15th, 2021, that's what's the end of the grace age, and then the week of Daniel kicks in, and it'll happen exactly via the scriptures. That's why you see all these things that's going on around the world. You see Israel being restored. Yeah, the devil tries to distract you with all this Trumpism and all this garbage that's going on and over to all the fighting. But see what's happening. God is just simply restoring Israel, bringing them back to their former glory. And at the end of the day, they're going to build their temple and they're going to get rid of their enemies there. No matter what Trump does and what kind of deals he makes, it's just going to happen via the scriptures. Thus saith the Lord. And we're just here in his closing, putting it out there because we want that blessing. Blessed is he. Blessed is he that believes in me. Blessed is he that is not ashamed of me. Blessed is he that reads and hears it and understands. Blessed is he that goes and tells. It's just that simple. You want that blessing, nothing else matters, because it's going to affect not only you, it's going to affect your children, it's going to affect your downline, it's going to affect all these people that the Lord has put under your watch, because if you believe, God will see to it that they will have a glorious expected end. It's that simple. That's what keeps us going. You want that blessing no matter what people say, do, or think.
Mm-hmm.
It's your has to be your motivating factor. Just that simple.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you and we just want to lay out to people, Lord, all the wonderful blessings in your word, Lord. But in that blessing, there's also persecution, Lord. But when you know you're on the right track, you know that persecution is a blessing, Lord. We just want to let people know that you sent the prophet and that we just want to let everybody know that what you've done in this day and age, Lord, how the wonderful things that you have done through the ministry of that prophet and that chief apostle, Lord. We also want to pray for Israel, Lord. You see all the enemies that are round about them. But just like in the days of Joshua, when they had all the enemies round about them, you were the one who did great and marvelous things for them. Help them see that, Lord, that they don't need nobody else to fight their battles. But with you on their side, they can do all things, Lord. We just pray for them. Give them courage and wisdom and strength for the days ahead, Lord. We just give you thanks for all things. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.